It's always very interesting this Saturday morning at the end of Easter time. We finish Acts. Those are the last lines of the book of Acts we just read, you know, that he was there and able to teach. Paul was there and able to teach for 2 years, sort of in a house arrest. And then we don't know what happened. He either was released for a while and went to Spain as he had planned, or he wasn't. But he was martyred. Now, why was he martyred when there was no Roman charge against him? Unless, because of the things that were happening, it became a crime to be a Christian. So we have Paul's witness, and then we have John's witness. And John's witness is this gospel. And that's why it says here, you see, he has written them down, and we know that his martyrion, his witness, is true. So, John's life and his love for the Lord, his purity of heart, that fire of love, that's the place within John where the Holy Spirit formed this gospel. And so that's also a testimony. Now, it's a difficult text. What if I want him to remain until I come? Well, which coming? He didn't remain until the Lord comes to end the world, because he's not here anymore and the world hasn't ended. So what coming does he mean? Does he mean Pentecost? Well, they all were there. You know, Peter gave the speech. He hadn't been killed yet. I'm just throwing these out so you see. When you read, you got to stop and say, what does this mean? And not just sort of say, well, no, that's very edifying. And, you know, why is this? This is so mysterious, huh? This last lines, it is this disciple who testifies to these things. Which disciple? Is this another one? Or is this John summing up his own gospel, except that it says, and we know that his testimony, his witness, is true. Who put that in? What does it mean? There is an abiding reality to the gospel, to the expression of the mystery of Jesus Christ, his divine origin, his incarnation, his preaching, his healing, his death in an act of love, his resurrection, the total transformation of his humanity, the divinization of his humanity, which we celebrate as the ascension, you see, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's all centered on Jesus. And so, it is this disciple who testifies, and we know. So, one of the other disciples probably wrote these last six lines to accredit the witness, the gospel of John. Now, what does that mean? That means that if we really ponder that gospel with faith, we will be touched in a very profound way by the Holy Spirit. Peter's witness was the cross. John's witness was the gospel. And this witness is an abiding witness. You see, what's happening right now in the church, by the work of the Holy Spirit, is preparing the church for a purification. We had Vatican II, which was desperately needed. If that had not happened, the church was like an old shack built out of dry cedar wood. Throw in one match, and that was the Holy Spirit. But you can see how ill-equipped the church was to receive the message. I mean, look at the mess. But it had to be. And then, you see, we've had these successive synods of the bishops guiding the church under the Pope. It was an idea at Vatican II, but it was implemented by Paul VI and John Paul II and now Benedict. Now, if you notice the rhythm of those, huh? There was first one on the Eucharist. So beautiful. And then there was one on the Word, huh? Verbum Domini. Trying to get the church once again to live by the Word. And now we have one just forming. Hasn't been. It'll start next year. And it's on evangelization. Out of revelation from Scripture comes evangelization. So we in the community have been able to articulate what we think is the charism of the community, is to get revelation from Scripture and to evangelize. So we're kind of in the mainstream, not by any genius of our own, but by the Holy Spirit. And so, you see, there's a witness that comes from a living experience of Jesus Christ that is refracted through and transmitted by the Word of God. How desperately needed it is to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God. And the native home of the Word of God is right here at the liturgy. You must remember, till the 14th, 15th century, there wasn't a printing press. Everybody didn't have his own little RSV in his pocket. In other words, it was a living thing, portrayed in art, in the stained glass windows, in the sculpture, in the to carry the message. And then in the preaching. The monks made that the basis of their life. There's a wonderful article by Adalbert de Vogüé. It's quite old now. The average monk spent more than 3 hours a day pondering the scriptures. When he went away, it wasn't to go away to have a good farm, though they all did. It was to have time to ponder the scripture. And it was from these men that came so many of the priceless commentaries on the scriptures. Rupert of Deutz, Bede, and so forth. So, this last text, we end Acts, we end John. It's taken us all the way through Paschal time, with very few exceptions. All the Gospels readings have been from John, and all the first readings, with no exceptions, have been from Acts. Why? Because Acts is a mirror. You look at Acts with faith, and you see yourself. That's the church. They had problems. The early part of the church there, they were in Jerusalem, right? And the people who didn't live in Jerusalem but were there, maybe living, but they weren't Jerusalemites or even Jews, and they said their widows weren't getting the fair shake in the distribution of food. Human. So what did the leaders do? They got together and prayed and discussed and listened to the Holy Spirit and came up with a decision. Deacons. So they appointed 7 deacons. The most outstanding of them turned out to be a preacher and a martyr. But they left, you see, and then when the Gentiles, this was all a Jewish performance, with a few exceptions. And so it was standard opinion among many, especially the ex-Pharisees, that in order to become a Christian, you had to become a Jew. So if you're a male, you had to be circumcised. You had to go through and keep all the regimentation, not only of the Torah, but of the interpretation of it. And the Holy Spirit just broke through that, right? First with Peter. I'm trying to point out, we're entering now, starting tonight, into another era of the church. Would be the 2000 and something, not yet 2000, 1900 and something, Pentecost. What is it for this year? What does the Lord have in mind? What's going to happen? You see, liturgical life is not, we come together like Washington's birthday, you know? Isn't Washington a good guy? And let's have supper. You know, this is a mystery. This is Christ still reliving these mysteries and pouring out their grace on us. And that's why the church takes all this time to prepare us. And the gospel tonight is going to be on the water that flows from the side of Christ, the Spirit. It comes from the crucified body of Christ, transformed, as Peter tells us, and raised up to heaven. He received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, the eschatological promise throughout the whole of the Old Testament is what? The Holy Spirit. I will put my law in their heart and I will write it there. And Ezekiel, I will give you a new spirit. Joel, I will pour out my spirit. And how many times in Isaiah, second part especially, I will pour out my spirit, I will pour out my spirit. That's where John the Baptist got his idea. I'm baptizing in water, but he's going to baptize in the Spirit. He's going to be the one to pour out a divine person to transform our lives. And so we have today to pray and get ready to enter into this mystery of the whole poor, broken body of Christ. 7,500 sects or something. Pray for unity. You see, this is not Washington's birthday. I know you know that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, you see, this is some. Pope Benedict, in Verbum Domini, trying to get people to understand, says what? If you remember, Jesus Christ is analogously present in the read and preached word right now with me. Jesus Christ is present in the preached word in a way that is analogous to the Eucharist. Ever hear that before? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? The poor preacher has to think about that every time he stands here. No, that's why you have to be stamped with the priestly character. Otherwise, the Lord can't use you that way, here or here. This is my body, this is my blood. It's not my body, it's Christ's body. It's not my word, it's Christ's word. And this now, all of that comes alive by the work of the Holy Spirit. When I pray over these gifts, say, send down your Holy Spirit. Who's going to change this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ? The Holy Spirit. It's going to be a miracle right here in this little chapel in about 10 minutes. The body and blood of Christ. How can the body and blood of Christ be here? He's risen. His whole being is transformed. He's in heaven with the angels and the saints. How does he get here? The power of the Holy Spirit. So the patron saint, patron feast of the liturgy is the Ascension. Because it's at that moment that the body of the Lord is transformed, divinized forever. It wasn't just a, you know, metro ride to heaven. It is a total transformation of a humanity. And Paul tells us, our humanity will be transformed to be conformed to his. So the Holy Spirit is going to transform our poor little flesh and blood with all its aches and pains, which won't be there anymore, and so that we're divinized, even in our flesh. The one who transforms matter is the infinite spirit. There's an icon. I'm going to quit right after this, I promise. But I just felt, yeah, this is so important not to let it just drift off. So we celebrate Christmas or whatever, Pentecost, and now what? There's an icon. We don't have it. It'd be nice to get one sometime. Well, you could paint one. It's Pentecost. So there's the apostles are all there. And Our Lady, there's a woman at the very top that's Mary the Church. I can't go through this, but you read, and it says throughout the patristic, you know. So this is how to paint an icon of the church, that is Mary. These are quotes, okay? So she's there. Kind of under all of that, there's old man Cosmos, an old bald guy like this. So when Pentecost comes, it falls on Mary the church, all the apostles, and on the cosmos. So from then on, bread, wine, water, oil, hands mediate divine life. That's why this is the source and summit of the Christian life. God has more respect for matter than we do. So we get ready so we can have it celebrate tonight as a community this mystery. This mystery. We are, after all, baptized in what? In the Spirit. Right? And how does that reveal itself? We all become like ethereal? No. Tongues, chant, miracles, conversions, real stuff. The more spiritual you are, the more you can get done. Right, I'm going to quit.